A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 26th March 2024. It's a Tuesday, so we'll be continuing our Tuesday class sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. And we will follow the new format. So I also don't know where we stop, but more or less, you will see them in the Zoom. That's based on the old book is page 542.
Yes,
oh, volume 4, chapter 3, A Parable by Master Xuan Hua. New book is page 37. Okay, as usual, let us gather for physical puja. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Amito Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Milo Fo, Namo Milo Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Dijang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato sauka sangho sanghang namami. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall continue with puja chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang kanda sambarayutena dupenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kusumena nena punnena mutena ca hotu mukhang rupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya atiram hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bhojanam parikapitam anukampam upadaya patigan hatu mutamam. Okay, we shall now continue to chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Paja. Vatang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Awareness-based meditation is to enable cultivator the way to develop the inner awareness. This inner awareness that is within our form and mind has been there all the time. But for it to arise, you need the karmic nature to condition a form of mind to come. Then it's only when this form of mind arises. Within this form of mind, we need to develop the understanding to realize it. And the only way to realize it is to develop the inner awareness without the thought. Because this awareness nature within is a nature, it's not you, it's not a being. It's the primordial mind that existed all along. But because of the existence shows world's law of karma, whenever a being takes birth through the karmic process, then there will be the form and mind that has this awareness nature within. But to realize it is not easy. The only way to do it is to allow the mind to silence itself, quiet down, and become very, very quiet and still. When there is no thought, this awareness nature becomes prominent, clear. We say it will manifest, but actually it was there all along. Living beings' problem is we cannot detect it and we cannot be aware of it. It's due to our own deluded thinking, deluded thought process. When your thought is active, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. So this thought activity, or we call it the aggregates of mind, with its views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and emotions, they cloud our nature, our awareness nature. Then we sort of forgot that we have this awareness nature, because the only thing that we are familiar with is the thinking process, the mundane thinking, the thought process, and the emotion that come with it. All this is a result of conditioning since birth until now. Then this process of conditioning gives rise to what we call knowledge. And not only knowledge, we accumulate a lot of memories which become experiences that we accumulate, actually. So as you accumulate what happened, all these accumulated memories mold your character, mold the way you are being identified into. So we are actually a bundle of memories with its views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, tradition, everything that you have been conditioned into. And from there, we act and we live our life thinking that this is what we are. But that one is the mundane mind, the thought process. And this is the one that deludes the living being. This one, before you know the Dhamma, before you awaken, it is actually deluded, egoic. And because of that, it creates a lot of problems, a lot of havoc due to lack of understanding. And the main culprit is Sakyadity, self-delusion. When we start to identify our form and mind, thinking that it's real, thinking this is what we are, then we get entangled. And that's how suffering comes to be. So the purpose of this awareness-based meditation is to develop the wisdom to reverse this whole process, to straighten our view, to come out of this delusion. And to do this, we must allow the thought to settle down until it becomes very quiet and very still. That's why what we are interested in is only the awareness nature within. So what I have taught you all is the four support to develop this awareness nature within. Of the four support, the first three are very important, which we have gone through. You need to develop the ability to relax body and mind. Completely, fully relax means no more problem. Completely at ease, body and mind, in a state of relax. Then maintain awareness. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness, which means no need to think, no need to create any more thought process, no need to have any mental activity or thinking, no need to react and stir your mind. And these are very difficult understanding to develop, because most people don't understand who they are, what they are, and how they function as a human being, and how this whole karmic process come to be. So because of that, we need to train our mind to be quiet, to be tranquil, to be still, and find out without thought, is there anything else? Without thought, who are you? What are you? Is there another entity that is beyond thought, beyond the thinking, beyond the mundane thinking and emotion? And these are wisdom that we need to develop through silencing our mind, to develop this inner awareness within. We call it the awareness-based meditation. So with this understanding and explanation, I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can develop the inner awareness and stabilize it. So remember, relax, maintain awareness, and continue to maintain awareness until it stabilizes. Then the fourth support, which most people no need to do now, you have to wait till your ability to develop the inner awareness has stabilized and become very stable. Then you can be in that state for a longer period of time. And then only you can proceed to do the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditative movement and transformation, to locate the gateway to your nature, to transform from within. And that one only for those taking up the higher teaching or the higher training, we call it follow the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. Only you need to do it. Otherwise, for you to realize the normal sinhood way, the first three support is enough. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which just heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha, Chiokawaisu, Atra, Gachantu, Devata, Saddhammang, Muni Rajasa, Sunantu, Sakamokkadang, Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanang buddho bhagavati sukato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pajatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisayokani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo bahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now this is it. Then before we commence, I just make a simple announcement. For those who has arrived today, as I have shared on the Michael Yamita website, WhatsApp group, the new book is ready for collection. All Kayamita can collect them. It's donated by Kayamita Fund. You can have your copies. So you can collect it from either my side here or on the sitting cushion there. Then for those who are in Subang and other area, you can collect from either Sister Padma Suri or Brother Tim, or get it from Brother Suyan. Brother Suyan has collected, I think, about 40 copies, so he should have enough to pass around. Then those who want this hard copy from outstation, you have to contact those Kayamita that around here who may be going back to their hometown, then you can ask them to help you to collect them. Similarly, those who have friends you can ask them to connect. There are some kilometers from Penang, Singapore, even Alostar, and Malacca. And today we are lucky. We have Sister Sue from New Zealand. She just came back, I think last few days. So she is with us. We welcome Sue, long time kilometer. So Sue, welcome. So she was very happy to meet up with quite a lot of kilometer who are here to actually have dinner with her. Then the first thing she did was she asked for the Heart Sutta second edition. Then also collected the latest book. And we also gave her some of the books that she missed out on. I think one of them is the unique code. Okay, so that's about all. So now we will continue from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. We are following the new edition, Master Xuan Hua's Volume 4, Chapter 3. The title is A Parables. Okay, I will read to you the sutra part. Your land will be called free from defilement. So this is the prediction Sakyamuni Buddha has given to Sariputta. And early on, the prediction was Sariputta will in the distant future become Sammasambuddha too. So now, the Buddha continued by defining or describing how his Buddha land, or when he become Buddha, his way place, what will it be called, and all those things. So according to this Lotus Flower Sutta, it said, your land will be called free from defilement. Means that place is without defilement. Its terrain will be flat and even, pure and beautifully adorned. It will be peaceful and tranquil, prosperous and joyful, abounding in gods and men or humans. The ground will be made of Vaduya. There will be 8 intersections or intersecting roads, bordered with golden cords and lined with rows of trees of the 7 treasures, which will be constantly blooming and bearing fruits. So the commentary said, so on the part, your land will be called free from defilement. Its terrain will be flat and even, pure and beautifully adorned. The commentary is, Tathagata flower radiance, Buddha land, will be called free from defilement. Means the future Buddha have the name of Tathagata flower radiance. And that will be Sariputta's future Buddha name. Not only will his land be level, it will also be immaculately adorned without any trash or filth. It will be peaceful and tranquil, prosperous and joyful, abound with gods and humans. Means his land will be free of trouble. Not only will humans live in this land, many gods will frequent this land, and their population will grow. Or here they use the word like wildfire, means they will grow very fast. The ground will be made of Vaiduya. There will be 8 intersecting roads bordered with golden cord and lying in rows of trees of the seven treasure, which shall be constantly blooming and bearing fruits. Commentaries. Means on that Buddha land, the roads from the eight direction were intersect, and golden ropes will be strung along the two sides. Along the roads, there will be seven rows of trees and seven layers of jewels netting. The trees will always be laden with fruits and flowers. And next part of the sutta says, Tathagata flower radiance shall also teach and transform living beings by means of the three vehicle may seem as Sakyamuni Buddha. Sariputta, when this Buddha appear in the world, although it will not be a troubled age, means don't have problem because of his past vow, he shall teach the Dhamma of the three vehicle. So commentary here. Yeah? So here the three vehicle is the sound hearer or the Savaka, the Pachika Buddhas, and the Bodhisattva. So same as Sakyamuni Buddha's three vehicle. Yeah? Means the sainthood way, the Pachika Buddha way, or conditioned enlightened Buddhas, and the Bodhisattva way to develop perfection of Samasa Buddhahood to become the fully enlightened one. Then Sariputta, when this Buddha land appear in the world, although it will not be a troubled age, means characterized by the five turbid period or turbidity. You know what is turbid, eh? Not clear. Living being cannot see clearly. They become deluded, clouded by the distraction of the five aggregates upon my mind, the sankhara activities and movement. And this one is possible because this was the vow made by him, his past vow, that he shall teach the Dhamma of the three vehicles. So the commentary say, why is that? Because in the past, he learned the Buddha Dhamma from Sakyamuni Buddha. Since his teacher taught the Dhamma of the three vehicles, as his disciple, Sariputta also aspired to follow his teacher's example. Therefore, even though he shall not be born in the troubled world of the five turbidity, he will nevertheless teach the expedient device of the three vehicles, means namely the sound hearer or sunven. So this sound hearer are the cultivator of the way who actually awaken during the Buddha Sasana, where through hearing they hear about the teaching, especially the Four Noble Truths. Then you have the conditioned enlightened one, or they call it the Pachika Buddha's way, where there may be sasana or no sasana, where there is no Four Noble Truth at all. So all this cultivation, the Pachika Buddha realize it themselves through observing nature's movement, and they awaken to the Paticca Samuppada, the 12 link, the law of dependent origination. So this is how this category of enlightened beings awaken. Then finally, of course, the supreme vehicle teaching leading to Samasa Buddhahood is the third vehicle. We call it the supreme vehicle of the Bodhisattvas, the Bodhisattva way. So all these three, they are actually very beautiful periods of cultivation. But without the first two, the sound hearer and the particular Buddhas, the third vehicle Supreme Vehicle of the Bodhisattva Way will be very, very difficult. And there will be maybe not enough candidate or cultivators to proceed on to the Bodhisattva Way. That's why you need the Sainthood Way. And the Sainthood Way is like the analogy I gave to you all earlier. It's like our education system that we have in our society. Yeah? We have primary school education, maybe to start off kindergarten before primary school. Then we have our primary school education. Then we move on to lower secondary. Yeah? Then middle secondary school. Then after that, we have our higher secondary school. Means we have our Form 1 to Form 3 for our Malaysian education system. Then Form 4, Form 5, middle. Then you have the higher Form 6, lower and upper 6. So once you finish this, then you go to university. So going to university is like going to the Bodhisattva Way to develop the higher teaching, to graduate, to perfect yourself, to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So if there is not enough primary school student, then secondary student will be even less. Then the upper, middle and higher secondary will be even less. That's why we need to produce a lot of school-going children. That's how our society came out with the compulsory education system, where it's mandatory for all parents who have children to send your children to school. Then, apart from that, you also need the support of the government and all those things. But when it comes to spiritual teaching or spiritual cultivation, it's slightly different because there is no such thing as compulsory education where it's compulsory for everybody to send their children to Sunday school, then to Dhamma school, primary Dhamma school, secondary Dhamma school, then to university. There is no such thing. So as far as cultivation is concerned, they go for those who have the potential to become enlightened. So the first category that is most obvious and can be churned out a lot is the Sainthood Way, the provisional teachings. Then from the provisional teaching, you allow it to develop the numbers. Then out of that numbers, how many can actually have the condition to go on to the Supreme Vehicle teaching. Yeah. Then during the non-sasana, you need Paccekha Buddha, because during the non-sasana, the Sainthood Way or Aryas are not easy, almost as good as 0.0001%, which is very, very minute, a very small number. But Paccekha Buddha is possible. Even though it's possible, the numbers are very small. The Paccekha Buddha, the number of Paccekha Buddhas compared to the Sainthood Way, the Aryas, are very small. So that is the analogy. So we can look at it this way. The Sainthood Way being the provisional teaching, more people can realize that. That how many people decide to continue with the cultivation to develop the full Bodhisattva Way or complete way, the extensive cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood depend. Then one more thing we can learn from what has been shared is, you remember, it was mentioned Sariputta has a vow. That vow was very unique. And I don't know why he wanted to vow it that way. Maybe he has his understanding and his choice. You know what was his vow or not? He vowed when he became Sammasambuddha, his Buddha land will not fall within the Tibet period. It's the 5 Tibet period where there will be problem with living beings. He vowed to arise during the period where there is hardly any delusion among the beings that actually prospered in his Buddha land. They have humans and gods and devas, and a lot of devas they like to come. To me, it's like the Buddha land that he wanted is something very different from normal Buddhas. Normal Buddha actually, they choose Tibet period because they want to come and save living beings. But it depends on your understanding and your particular interest or understanding that decide what type of Buddha land that you want to manifest. For Amitabha Buddha, you all should be very familiar. He actually also through his vow created what? Created pure land. That's why his pure land version is actually similar to what Sariputta wanted. But his pure land is very unique because of his nature. He go through the fate and he cultivated longest. It took him 12 world cycle, means 3 times the normal length of Sakyamuni Buddha's wisdom way. And because of that, his vow become so powerful and so unique that he can manifest Buddha land. And all this are the uniqueness of all Sammasambuddha that have different understanding. This is what I meant by additional vows and miscellaneous vows that each and every Bodhisattva who go this way, you can actually evolve them and develop them until it becomes very unique to the individual Buddha. So all this can be done. So make a note of that. Okay, next one. Please continue. So name of the period or his aeons. So according to the sutta, his aeon will be called the grace with great treasure, which will, why will it be called grace with great treasure? It is because in that land, Bodhisattva will be considered as great treasure. And now we understand. There's a lot of Bodhisattva during that period. So commentary said, when Tathagata flower radiance becomes a Buddha, his aeon will be called grace with great treasure. Why will it be called grace with great treasure? It is because in that land, Bodhisattva will be considered as great treasure. Now we go to the commentaries. Beings of that land will regard Bodhisattva as great treasure during their aeons. A large number of great Bodhisattvas will appear. Therefore, that aeon will be called grace with great treasure, for it will be made splendid by the presence of all these Bodhisattvas. So the word Bodhisattva has been explained many times, but with the passage of time, people may have forgotten what it means. Since there is a bit of extra time, This is what Shen Huo shared at the time when he delivered this sutta. He said we can look into this title, Bodhisattva. Okay. What are Bodhisattvas anyway? Can anyone explain this term? Eh? You all want to try? Since you take the Bodhisattva way? Eh? What is your understanding of what are Bodhisattvas anyway? Yeah. From the word. We start from the word. Bohi is what? Huh? Bohi is like the Bohi tree, right? That Bohi signify enlightenment, yes or not? Bohi tree, tree of enlightenment. So Bohi is enlightenment. Sattva is being. Means and enlightened beings that walk the path of Buddhahood. That is precisely what a Bodhisattva is. Okay, so we go on and see how Xuan Hua share and evolve it. Can anyone explain this term? Where do Bodhisattva come from? Bodhisattva come from living beings. So you don't have to worry. Eh? You are also living beings before you become Bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas originally were just living beings. So these are beautiful understanding. They are only unique after they have walked that path. Then where do living beings come from? Oh, see, here is so beautiful. Huh? Living beings come from Buddhas. Then where do Buddha come from? They come from living being. In a nutshell, Buddha come from living being, and living beings come from Buddha. They come and go, not coming and not going and not coming. No wonder during the early days when I met Xuan Hua, I think it was in the 86, 87 when he visited KL again. And then I went to his talk, recorded a lot of the tapes for the full 5 days or what, I forgot already. I still remember his sharing. He always say this, Fo jiu shi xin, xin jiu shi fo. Ni wu hui xin, jiu shi wu hui fo. And that saying actually was very profound and my nature rejoiced. When he say, Fo jiu shi xin, the meaning is very profound. Buddha is mind. Mind is Buddha. So now you understand. Actually, that saying is the one that gives rise to all this understanding. So when we talk about Fo jiu shi xin, because Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue after he has perfected all the cultivation. That's why he developed that quality of Sammasambuddha. Yeah. So Buddha is that nature in the sauna, that he realized that true nature, the original nature, the Buddha nature. And that one is also, we can call it the true mind or the Buddha nature and other things. So, Fo jiu shi xin refer to that. And xin jiu shi fo. Then he always say, the living beings and the Buddha got no different. They differ by one thought, one single thought of ignorance. That's how he explained the 10 Dhamma line. Fo gen zhong sheng xiang cha yi nian zi cha. A single thought of ignorance. Like the Buddha used to explain in the Theravada Sutta. He said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that condition living beings to what they are now, following the Surangama Sutta. From the primordial mind, how does this living being manifest? It's not to say this primordial mind, the Buddha nature, the true nature, can fall back to become living being. Please don't get wrong. Maybe today's second session, I go through that. There is one person who wrote to me. I think he's not from our Kayamita group. His name is Brother Fong, I think. Fong Hong Wai. Anybody know him? You know him, you let me know. Anyway, he wrote to me. Then I sent it out in the Kayamita group for sharing. So earlier on, I just sent his email, the question. But today, I sent out the answer that I gave to him. And also a few more emails that continue from there. But there is one last email that he replied to me, which was also very beautiful. But I don't have the time to put in for sharing, maybe after today's class. Then I also actually replied and asked him for his handphone and asked him to listen to the recent short video. I think 4.23 minutes that Jin Hao sent out. What is the difference between awareness and conscience? Ah, that one very good. That one explained the four circle formation that he is trying to understand, which he couldn't quite understand it because he has tried very hard to do the awareness-based meditation, but he can't get it. He can't develop the understanding of it. So what happened was he used his thinking mind. Via logic, via analysis and reasoning to try to understand what this thing is. That's why when he used that, it's basically knowledge-based. So knowledge-based is from the mundane mind, the thinking mind. So how can you understand something that is beyond thought, beyond mind? There is no way. That's why he has the Tao and the question, which is very legitimate, very good. Then when I explained to him, I tried to hint to him and bring him to that understanding. But finally, I still said, to understand what I said, you must develop the inner awareness until it's very stable. Then diligently cultivate to awaken before you can really understand. Yeah. So I think finally he understood that. Then he said he really very keen to develop this awareness-based meditation. What he was going through was that phase, is it? You cannot blame me, is it? Because the mind that is inquisitive and curious, want to know. So when we say want to know, like what song went through, you all know. Who want to know? The thought want to know. So all this is the one that actually trigger off all the question. And this is mainly due to lack of understanding. That's why I shared with a lot of Kayamitas in the early days. I say initially it's very normal to have a lot of questions because most people use the logical thinking mind based on logic, the mundane mind, based on knowledge, which are limited, egoic, and lack clarity of understanding because it is still within the field of thought. So if you use that to approach, it's very difficult for you to understand. But I say, have faith. Develop the sincerity, the patience, then diligently cultivate. So faith sincerity, patience to diligently cultivate is very important. Once you do that, the understanding will arise. The awakening will take place. Then after a while, you realize, like what happened to a lot of Kayamita, suddenly like no more question. You know why or not? Well, the question is self-answered. That's why the uniqueness of the Dhamma is when you cultivate, then only you understand. If you don't cultivate, you can be discussing or arguing or trying to develop the reasoning and analysis to maybe come to an understanding, and you realize it doesn't work that way because the instrument that you start off with is the thought process. It's within the field of thought. It cannot go beyond thought, beyond mind. Means you are not with the awareness nature to see things as they are, to develop the direct seeing, to awaken and to realize what this thing is. So what I was trying to explain is, maybe later, second session, I will explain in more detail. It is that Buddha nature that just now I mentioned. You see, what Xuan Hua is trying to explain to you, from that Buddha nature, yeah, things can arise and nothing. You understand? From that nature, but that nature can only come when there is a form of mind, when there is a karmic nature to condition this form of mind. And this form of mind must exist first. That's why all this understanding, unless you go through the Bodhisattva way, you can understand. Then the moment you are born into this world, the form of mind that come as a vehicle and a tool will go through the karmic process, go through the existential life process. Yeah. Then this being, when they come, most of them are deluded because they don't have the Dhamma. But they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned, supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. And that is the only inheritance they have. So karma play a great role. So unless you have developed earlier understanding and take care of karma, so that when you come, you have a lot of understanding to enable you to understand life and develop the awakening to liberate from suffering so that you need not suffer. Yeah. Then most cultivators that come without such understanding, they are actually groping around like a blind leading the blind. Cannot find the truth, the teaching. So what happened is a lot of suffering, a lot of karmic repercussion and karmic karmic activity and movement. They say a lot of karmic debt and karmic it go both ways. Karmic debt and karmic, you call it reward. It is the good and bad of your karmic thing. So these are the things that continue to move samsara. Then only a handful during the sasana can actually liberate and free. Then you need Sammasambuddha to come to create the sasana for massive transformation and turnaround. So all this is what will happen. So as a living being at that time, for our case is a human being. So if you start, let's say, your life, when you start to search, when you start to develop the condition to cultivate, it depends on your coming and your past. So most people actually start late because to them, life is more important. Take care of the basic need. Yeah, that's why for our society is food and shelter. Yeah, of course, you have to go to education, then have a proper job. Then after that, you try to develop the Maslow's need hierarchy to achieve success in life and to have the good life and all things. But how many people actually move towards the spiritual path? It's only when they have problems, most of them. Of course, there are a few exceptional ones. No need to have problem to go that way. But most of them will have problem. Then only they look for Dhamma or look for religion to find answers. Yeah. So let's say if you are lucky, after you graduate, work for a while, then you start searching, which I think most graduates do. When I was in the uni, I remember there are a lot of university undergraduate during that time. We joined the Buddhist society. We were actually involved in the Buddhist teaching, cultivating and all those things. But that number is also not big, small. Then for me, I started early after Form 4, Form 5, when I understand science, and my mind started to become different. Then it started to search. Then of course there are a lot of things that show me before that. So let's say if you come out and work now, maybe earlier, age 20, you graduate, younger generation. Then you work for 5 years, you got problem, you fed up, then you go and search. It's 25 years old, you search. But how can you understand that this Dhamma that is to be awakened to is something else beyond your thought, beyond your mind? So the instrument you use to search is your thought process, your knowledge, the mundane mind, the thinking mind. And that limits you, but a lot of people don't understand. There's a thought-based approach to meditation is very rampant, very common. And awareness base is hardly taught, hardly understood. So that adds up to the difficulties. Let's say you have good parami, you encounter somebody who teach that way. Even a lot of karmita go through, you know. A lot of you are actually trapped back in the old way that you seems to be familiar with and supported. Then after so many years stuck in that type of so-called meditation, then only you have the condition to hear the new teaching or the teaching regarding mindfulness, awareness, and we call present moment awareness or sati, awareness-based meditation. So to accept that understanding is not easy, I realize. Then let's say you have the condition. By the time you finish your search, you could be easily 40-something or 50-something, or like now, a lot of people 60-something only come to this understanding. Then how many years left for you to develop the cultivation? But at least you come to this point and develop the awareness-based meditation, and then it's a lot easier. You cut short a lot of unnecessary, what we call, the yan wang luo, in English you call what? You're supposed to walk the path of Dhamma to cultivate, but you detour, that's not. You went off track, that's not. And you walk into all those cultivation that is deviant, not leading you back to the correct awareness-based approach. That's why you cannot locate your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within. And this is the first thing that you have to locate, you know, unless you are happy with the sainthood way. Then you have a glimpse of it, then later on have longer period of cessation, which means you only have a glimpse and some little understanding of what that enlightened state is, but you have not touched that nature within. That's why that awakening to the sainthood way is so different from those of the bodhisattva way, where you take the full cultivation to realize that nature, stabilize it, locate the gateway, transform and move. So all these are not easy. So coming back to the last part, how can the Buddha nature people with delusion without the meditative understanding and awakening, they will say, hey, from the Buddha nature, the first thought ignorance come out, then that nature can fall and become a putujana again, a normal living being again with a mundane mind and go back to samsara. No, it's not like that. It is because that nature is the source, understand? From there, all things arise. So that which arise, the first thought of ignorance, has nothing to do with that nature, understand? That is the first movement. But that one, to trace back, is going to be very, very long. Even as a Sammasambuddha, they will tell you, inconceivable. It's very difficult to conceive and understand. It's the beginning of that first thought ignorance that actually move and come out and develop the evolution until it's so sophisticated, until you become a human being or a living being. Taking birth and death, unending cycle of birth and death in samsara. When you come as a living being, this process of birth and death, which is samsara, is conditioned by avijja, ignorance. So the first thought of ignorance is the beginning. Then this ignorance and delusion become more and more sophisticated, more and more sophisticated, more and more sophisticated, until finally you become like very, very afflicted, until you are trapped. It's just like I used to share with you. Initially, you are from that nature. Then the first thought, nothing to do with that nature, come out. It's just like you are born from your parents. Then when you are very young, maybe you are given away. Yeah? Then you don't know even who your parent is, or during the war or what. Then you forgot. Then finally, you end up to know which nation in the world. Then you got no idea of where you were born, understand? Where is your hometown or your birthplace, or how to return? You cannot. So how are you going to find your way back? It's not easy. And this one, for human world, you can still ask around, Google around, and finally you locate your parents, your biological parents. But when it comes to cultivation, it's different. Because you didn't know that originally there is this nature where you can actually return to. But that one is not you, understand? Then that one that come out of it is also doesn't belong to that nature. It's also not you. But you deludedly grasp and cling. Ah, now I remember. That's why we call it the traveler in space and time. Who is the traveler? The form and mind that has the mundane consciousness. He think that one is real, exists. So he think through the conscious mind, he can know things, he can perceive things. So the knower become the living being, understand? Become the traveler in space and time. And through the 31 plane of existence, you lost yourself for so long. So how are you going to come back? The four circle formation to develop the meditative understanding to return to the pure awareness, which is not you, understand? But that nature is in the form and mind one. Then from there, if you know how to meditate to realize the awareness nature and let the mundane mind cease, then you can return. Yeah. Return doesn't mean that you originally from there. No, you are a byproduct from there, yes. And that one is also not new. So it's not easy to understand. It's quite complicated. Anyway, I just leave it at here. Huh? Then maybe if I have time, I will explain a bit more later. Okay, 9:45, I think I have to end already. Where were we? Sorry.
We start.
Here. Okay, no coming, no go. Okay, I read finish this commentary. Huh? This aeon will be named for its great bodhisattvas. What are these great bodhisattvas called? They are referred to as the great treasure. Bodhisattvas are great treasure. Great living beings treasure. Or great living treasures. Unlike lifeless treasure, living treasure are alive. That one is a big difference. Because bodhisattvas are alive, they are called living treasure. Because many great living treasure will distinguish these aeons. It will be called grace with great treasure. Means during that era is very unique. A lot of great bodhisattvas. Okay, we will mark this page. Huh? Move it up further. Okay. Okay, I will mark this page. Huh? So coming back to this second session, we are supposed to go through meditation reporting followed by Q&A. But today is different. We don't have to do that because there is one sharing from this Brother Fong, which I mentioned to you all earlier on. So this sharing is very useful. It can also help us develop quite a lot of understanding. So hopefully we can go through this. Okay, Sui has got it. Eh? So she will pin it onto the Zoom so that we can share. Okay, on the 23rd of March, today is 26, means 3 days ago, there is this Brother Fong. He wrote to me. He said, the subject title is Unique Dhamma Code 110. You must have heard my YouTube sharing sent out by Chin Hao. This one is based on my book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code. So we are at Unique Code 110, which is a very good and very beautiful Dhamma Code. So he wrote to me, this is what he said. He said, Dear Brother Teo, I am grateful for your Dhamma sharing, which I am able to follow in the YouTube. I have benefited a lot through your sharing and your teachings. I have also been following Ashin Dijaneya's awareness meditation, and the teaching on awareness are similar to yours. So I believe most of the Theravada tradition, you all might have known this teacher, Ashin Dijaneya. I think he's from Myanmar, if I'm not wrong. In the earlier, some of the Kayamita told me about his teaching also. The first batch of Kayamita that came to me, I think in the year 2005 or 6, I remember. I started with them sharing 2004. And they told me about this particular teacher, and they mentioned he teach differently. He try to move into awareness based meditation, but he didn't use the word awareness based. He just want to teach sati based or awareness based. So that was how I heard of the name. Anyway, I think he is quite a good teacher, and he has many followers. So Brother Fong is one of them. He has been following Ashin Dijaneya's awareness meditation. Then I got one lady, Kayamita, who went to Myanmar many years back. I think she went to finally this Burmese temple, which is happened to be Ashin Dejaniya's teacher's temple. Then she actually was there for 3 to 6 months, I remember. Then she wrote back email to me to share what they share there. And then I explained to her how to understand all this. And she was full of joy. And when she came back, she developed the understanding too. So that was a bit of history. Then go down further. So his question, he said, I have a question which bothers me. In your recent talk on unique Dhamma code 110, you explain, very clearly regarding the 4 circles drawn on the whiteboard. So the first circle, which he somehow can follow, the first circle depicts the source or stroke Nibbana. Then I also use other word down there, which he didn't put in the email here. That is also, we call it our Buddha nature or original nature, Penlaidemenmu, the Mayana call, or the oneness nature. Yeah. Then some also call it the singularity, because the scientists like the word singularity, the source. From there, everything manifests. Then the second circle, circle number 2, depicts the pure awareness mind before the arising of thought. Then the third one is the mundane mind, the 5 aggregate of forming mind, the thinking mind. Then the last one is the 4th circle that depicts the phenomenal world of consciousness, means our existential world, where everything happens within our existential world. So we call it the phenomenal world of consciousness because from the mundane mind, through our senses, as a human being, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And these 6 types of consciousness that manifest created the phenomenal world. And this is how that conscious phenomena become like projected into our life and existence. Basically, without the senses, we cannot understand the world. To know the world, to interact with the world, we need the senses. That's why the 6 sense doors are very powerful, very important. And they are basically just consciousness. The conscious mind, upon contact with the sense bases and the corresponding sense data, trigger that particularly sense door consciousness. Like our eye, through our physical eye, the seeing consciousness, how do they arise? Through contact of the eye with our consciousness trapped inside, and the color, shape, and form of sense data that come in, then it trigger off like the physics experiment. The light bulb lights up means make you conscious. Conscious of what? Conscious of what you see. That is one of the senses. Then what you hear and other senses, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So these are the 6 sense doors. So he got this I should say quite clearly understood, or through the explanation I think he can follow, based on logical thinking and all those things he can follow. And also maybe partly it's because of his awareness based meditation training he can follow. Then he mentioned in that talk, Brother Theo mentioned that when thought appear in the pure mind, see this one, at this point he still didn't make mistake yet. When thought appear in the pure mind, the mundane mind is created, still correct, then which in turn caused the creation of the phenomenal world of consciousness, still correct. Then here he go wrong. He said, my question is, If the pure mind can return, this word, he got it completely off. Yeah? He cannot understand. Can return to the mundane mind and the phenomenal world of consciousness, then it doesn't seem to make sense. As the person becomes a putujana again. You understand where he go wrong or not? Yeah? He thought the pure mind is him, understand or not? And the pure mind has returned and become the mundane mind. No, that is not the understanding. When you are with the awareness nature, you know the awareness nature is not a being, not a thing, understand? It is just that nature, understand? The word is that nature. That nature got no word, nothing one. But from that nature, through consciousness, because it's spacious awareness, understand? Then it can create thought, understand? Like I explained to you all. Spacious awareness is your awareness nature, understand? Then how you create thought? Huh? Through your senses, yeah. When you want to know something and perceive something, you shrink that spacious awareness, yeah. The spacious awareness is only a small part of that nature, the true mind. And when you shrink it down, it's even more small. Then you input the content of consciousness through your memory, your views, your opinion, your condition, your belief system, your whatever mental accumulated knowledge, yeah, and conditioning. Then from there, it triggers the thought. So what is that thought? That thought is dependent, originating, understand or not? It's not the true mind, understand or not? But the true mind is the pure awareness. When you do this type of movement with the karmic involved, because the form of mind that come has its karmic from the past, the karmic nature, you are born of that karma, heir to that karma, condition supported by the karma, and you are what you are. So from that activity, that karmic process, you manifest that thought. That's why that thought become karmic. The mental intention inside that condition, moral or immoral, citta, means kusala or akusala citta, means that thought will have its, we call it the mental intention, that condition is karmic behavior. Yeah. Whether it's moral or immoral depend on the mental intention that goes in at that time. So, because he lacked the direct seeing, the awareness nature, he cannot see the formation of thought. He cannot understand thought is respond to memory. And the whole movement, without mindfulness, awareness, you cannot see. And when you cannot see, you think that pure mind has fallen and become the mundane mind. No, that is completely off the target. The wrong understanding. So here is where he go wrong. Huh? I read again. Huh? My question is, if the pure mind can return the mundane and the phenomenal world of consciousness, then it doesn't seem to make sense as the person become putujana again. Similarly, from the source, Nibbana, how come the mind can return to the mundane mind and hence to samsara again? So this whole question is based on wrong understanding. Yeah, can follow? Yeah, then we move on. Then he quoted the Theravada teaching, which is not wrong. It has been taught that from avijja, the world is created. However, if the original mind, yeah, which is pure, how can ignorance arise and lead to the whole dependent origination again? Then he said, thanks, Brother Fong. You see, where he go wrong is, he thought, yeah, this original mind, yeah, which is perfect, pure, is him, understand not? Then this one can still, due to ignorance, yeah, be led into that process of paticca samuppada, means become the mundane mind again, they create the law of dependent origination to actually manifest in samsara again. This is completely off the target or based on wrong assumption and understanding, because he is not in a position to have the pure awareness nature to see what happened, how thought come about. Then how the first thought of ignorance that actually come out from that nature, because like I said, the first thing that come out is the pure awareness nature actually. Then from the pure awareness nature, that stirring via the form and mind, that first thought is actually from that form and mind with that initial delusion. The first thought of ignorance, that one that come out don't have a form and mind so sophisticated as what we are now yet. That one is the primordial movement. Primordial means from the pure awareness, that stirring or that manifesting of that so-called thought is still very elementary, very primitive, understand? It's like just like in space, suddenly there is a movement. Then slowly, slowly, this one create and solidify into a form and mind. Then later on, it solidify into a human being with the physical body and all those things. Initially, no physical body at all. It's just the conscious movement only. Then from there, it. But this one, you need to take the Bodhisattva way to go through the whole thing. Then you can see the process of creation. Especially after you have gone through the realization of Nibbana. Then when you come out of there, you start to see the movement. How the first thing that come out is the pure awareness nature. Then when it come out, it went to the heart area, like I explained in our latest book, after Nibbana. Then how this one split into the three areas of consciousness. One go to the brain, the forehead, and animate the brain to start its activity again. Then the other one that is at the heart area is responsible for the conscious part, which is from that nature, and the emotion, which is from the thinking, the thought process. That's why when you think, you become emotional, your heart there, feel the emotion, whether fear, worry, anxiety, it's always at the heart. The fear never appears in your forehead. But this is the center where the consciousness actually created the movement. Then the third area of consciousness go down to the Tan Tien, where Tan Tien is the major chakra that activates all the earthly energy and movement for you to live life, to develop the activity, to actually use the earthly energy. So you can see all this movement. Yeah. Then you will come to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human. How the living being, or the, for our case, the human being is animated into a form and mind, as if you exist. Maybe we use artificial intelligence easier. Nowadays, you can have a robot in it. That robot got no, I should say, emotion or no. The difference between the robot and the human being is human being got emotion, robot got no emotion. Robot got a lot of data, understand? A lot of data. It can interact with you, it can talk to you. You ask questions, sometimes it can be sarcastic with all the accumulated knowledge. And he can do that. And you think he exists. You think he real. Now the robot, they can dress it up, and look so pretty, and so real. Then later on, I think there will be a lot more sophisticated one come out. Then now, you got this robotic taxi, no driver. You go in, you talk to the driver, but there is no physical driver there. Hi, driver. The destination, you key in, some you use voice. Then they interact with you. So the difference between a conscious human being with the senses and the consciousness and the artificial intelligence that don't have the consciousness, because without consciousness, you cannot be emotional, understand? You cannot have all this moral logic of mental intention, that one is all programmed one, understand? Through programming, they learn themselves. Then they develop the what we call so-called intelligence, not wisdom, artificial intelligence. They won't go wrong, you know why? They are robot, computer, like calculator. Unless you really short-circuit it, then it becomes too hot, then it cannot calculate. Otherwise, it is very accurate one. He never make, human mind can make mistake on that. So that is the big difference. So coming back to this, I go to the next one, which was my answer to him. Here, you listen to my answer. I said, dear Brother Fong, salute to you for your ability to benefit from my nature sharing of the Dhamma. You seem to have quite good affinity and understanding of the topic shared, and your questions are good and legitimate because it can help you clear your doubt. So I wanted to take him out of it. I said, regarding your question below, where I repeated what he said, where he said wrongly on. My question is, if the pure mind can return, see, his mistake is return to the mundane and the phenomenal world, then it doesn't seem to make sense as a person, because, as the person become a putujana again. Similarly, from the source, Nibbana, how come the mind can return to the mundane mind status and hence to samsara again? So my reply, you listen. Your statement regarding the above mentioned pure mind can return to the mundane mind, etc., is based on wrong understanding. See? Wrong understanding. The pure awareness nature or the pure mind is a nature. It does not fall or return to the mundane mind and the phenomenal world of consciousness. This one you all can follow now. Yeah, this one is that spacious awareness, no what nothing one, it's not a being, it's that nature, and that nature is there all along. The moment you take birth, that nature is there, it follows that form and mind because of the existential world's karmic conditioning and process. So that nature cannot be defiled, cannot be changed or transformed one. That's why I call it the primordial nature. It's the first to come out from that source, the pure awareness nature. But it needs a form and mind to be connected, then only that one can surface. And that one can only surface when your thought ceases, understand? With the thought to cloud, you never know that you have this pure awareness nature. And most people cannot stabilize it. That's why it's very difficult to locate it or to realize that there is another mind, which is the true mind, the pure mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. That's why if he don't meditate to develop the stability of awareness, he can never understand. So what I wrote to him is for him to slowly develop the understanding so that he will have the faith to meditate and develop the understanding. Yeah. So I read again, the pure awareness nature or pure mind is a nature and it does not fall or return to the mundane mind and the phenomenal world. The mundane mind arising from it is dependent originating and is the byproduct of that nature arising via the karmic process. So now you understand, like I explained just now. Initially, it's spacious awareness, understand? When you are at the awareness nature, nothing else, spacious awareness. Then how do you perceive? You need your senses, like seeing. You have to see something, the external object. Then that seeing, the area that you see is a narrow area. So you have shrink the whole pure awareness nature to that space. Then you input the content through your brain, the memory, the conditioning, the belief system, everything. Then the content went in and become a thought. It triggered our thought. That's why thought is limited. Thought is egoic. But it's limited to that small space. It can only develop the movement inside that space. out of that space, you are not aware already. That's why I said you are lost in that thought. Understand or not? Preoccupied with the activity within that space. That's why thought is limited. It is not the oneness. It's not the awareness that can be aware of the whole thing. And the one that can be aware of the whole thing is a totally different entity. It's not a being. It's not you. It's a nature that you need to realize through the awareness-based meditation. That is where he couldn't understand, where he didn't do that type of meditation. So, clear? Huh? Can follow? If cannot, you better ask. Then, via the karmic process means what? Well, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma. So that being that perform that seeing consciousness movement or creating the seeing consciousness and triggering of that thought after what it see, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is just the seeing consciousness. No one to see. The egoic mind hasn't gone in yet. But once the content goes in, the egoic mind goes in, then that ego creates the concept of I see. Understand? I perceive. That is where Sakkaya Ditthi went in. Then because of the egoic mind, there is this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. Then the phobia, the scars of memory, then they will stir the mind. So stirring of the mind and the reaction to sense experience is that movement of Sakkaya Ditthi, self-delusion, avijja, ignorance. And this is how the thought become karmic, anasana. So via the karmic process, I use the word, you must get this right, then you will understand better. Otherwise, your doubt will continue. Then to understand what I share, you need to develop, what did I say there? A very stable, pure awareness within that nature. Pure awareness nature. And cultivate diligently to awaken. If you don't do that, there is no way. That's why I say, hope this helps. Yeah. Then you go to the next email he replied to me. Yeah. So this one, after I read out to you, you tell me what you understand from how he replied. Then we have this as a discussion topic tonight. 10:17 already. I have to go faster, otherwise I cannot finish. Then he replied to me the same day. He said, "Dear Brother Teo, thank you so much for your reply." Sadhu, he said, "Your explanation make things, you see, a bit clearer on it. Not easy for him to understand, to me. In other words, when a person develops the pure mind, see, again, a person develops the pure mind. There is nobody developing the pure mind. It's to realize the pure mind or awareness. He is already an Arya and permanently so. So this is again his concept and his idea. His pure mind would not return to the normal mundane mind. So that part is also based on logic. Not so bad. Then what Brother Teo explained in the video was how the mundane mind originated as a byproduct of the pure nature. When there are mental activity, sankara, okay? Then, what is most difficult to understand was the original mind. So he still want to pin on that question, no? Or source, nibbana. Perhaps what is misleading is the word original mind. Actually, no problem at all. The original mind, where he cannot understand, where he cannot figure out what that thing is. The original mind is what the mind are called Penlaitamienmu, understand? There is a source, understand? Originally was like that. Nothing changed, understand? That's why the word is correct. Then he said, perhaps we never had this original mind in the first place. See? He still want to own this original mind. When you go to the thought, it's always like that, you know? Because you always believe that this mind belongs to you, whether it's the true mind or the mundane mind or the original mind or whatever mind. Because the egoic mind wants to have identity. It cannot. All this is not what you think. The mundane mind and all these other activity that arise from that nature, these are dependent origination entity or phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. He know you, he know me, not what you think. And even that nature is not you. You are never that. But there is a nature which is originally existing one, where all living beings actually belong to that oneness one. But it is not you, understand? From there it arrives, doesn't mean you are that, understand? If you don't meditate with the awareness space, with that stability, you can never understand all this. So here I read on, perhaps we never had this original mind in the first place. Otherwise it would be inconceivable, to use such strong word, to think that ignorance can take place from the source. Then the question comes, is this reasoning right? See? This one can tell you his approach, and he still wants to ask that question which he believes he is still right. This is the only, usually the word, only logical explanation that I can think of. I don't blame him. At that level, he will think like that. However, then another problem arose. See? He got another question. Why is it ignorant from the start and not wisdom? See? How do you understand this question? Huh? Before you become enlightened, do you have right view and right understanding? You cannot, isn't it? Avijja will be there, isn't it? Not until you meditate and realize, and the whole meditation process, he cannot understand. Well, it's through the form and mind that come through the karmic process, then you develop the meditative understanding to awaken. It's not the other way around, understand? He still think from the source, with wisdom, you don't fall, finish. Understand? No need to come. Why start with ignorance first? You cannot blame him. Then he said, hope my questions are not too problematic. He said, thanks. Then he signed. Anyway, it's good. We should thank him for creating the condition for us to share and maybe make things clearer so that more people can develop. Okay, go up. I will finish out this answer. Then the rest I will share later. So I wrote back to him. I said, as advised earlier, I quoted the same sentence. To understand what I share, you need to develop a very stable, pure awareness nature and cultivate diligently to awaken. It seems you are more interested in using your thought to analyze and reason via logic to develop more thought-based understanding in inverted comma, which is basically knowledge and not wisdom. So my advice is, please diligently develop awareness-based cultivation to awaken via the direct seeing awakening, which is beyond thought and beyond time. To understand the big difference between mundane seeing and supramundane seeing. So hopefully with this, it can develop better understanding for you all also. But for him, it depends on his karmic. If he has karmic obstruction, he will get stuck here very long. Just too much analysis and reasoning. Then if you try to take side and do all this, it will trigger a karmic obstruction. Then when this karmic obstruction comes and obstruct him from receiving this teaching, then he need to ask for forgiveness and all those things. Otherwise, you cannot break. Not easy. But from the look of it, I think he is not so bad. Because actually he replied to me, but that was after I sent this one out already. Maybe next one, next sharing, I will add in that one. But he toned down a lot after that. Yeah. Okay, so any question? Yeah. We take it from here. So at least we finish the sharing on what I sent out.
I have if you want to scroll some.
Oh, some more. Oh, you have. Okay. Bring it down. Okay, we might as well finish it off. See, this one is his reply to me. Actually, today only he came. He said, thanks, Brother Teo, for your kind advice, which I fully agree. So this is good. That's why I say he not so bad. That to cultivate diligently to awaken is the way. Then, here he tried to explain. Don't get the opening statement wrong. He said, no, Brother Teo, it's not true that I'm more interested in using logic and thought-based understanding. Then he confirmed, I'm more interested in awareness-based meditation. If I can gain insight, then there is no need to ask, which is correct, isn't it? That's the reason why I follow all your sessions, or is it on awareness-based meditation, no? And sati, and try to understand, no? So who is trying to understand? It's the thought, understand clearly what is sati, see? Even until now, after he followed Tichaneya and he listened, and he still want to find out what is the real sati, and also try to practice the awareness meditation. I really say awareness meditation, you cannot practice. Who practice? The thought practice. That's where he go wrong. And he still haven't developed the understanding that I share. I say, don't try to know, don't try to do. The four support, relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize it. Means no doing, no thought involved. Maybe the new book will help him. However, see, the word come again already. Meanwhile, sometimes listening to your teaching, some of these boggling questions came to mind, and I have no way but to resort to reasoning. Which is normal. I don't blame him. Since I have not achieved the direct seeing awakening yet, what else can I do in these circumstances? So he won't answer again. But I didn't answer. Anyway, he said, I fully agree with Brother Teo that cultivating diligently to awaken is the most important. And I am seriously moving in this, which is very good. Then, next one, next email, which I wrote to him, very simple. Actually, I don't intend to reply already, but because he put there, he is more interested in awareness-based meditation. I said, dear Brother Fong, nice to know that you are more interested in awareness-based meditation. By the way, can I have your phone number? I will forward you our Zoom class link and also my latest 14 minutes 23 second YouTube short video on what is the difference between awareness and consciousness. Do listen to it attentively, then hopefully you can develop the clear understanding and to meditate well. If you are truly interested in this awareness-based meditation, then maybe it's better for me to add you as our parameters to our WhatsApp group so that you can receive all our news, notices, and sharing. Do let me know if you are interested. We meta always. Yeah? So that's how I end, which I think will be useful for him. Okay, you all wants to rejoice? Rejoice first, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, got 2 more minutes. Who wants to come in? Or any question?
My dear.
Sadhu.
You do, my dear Mr. Steele and all Kalyanamitas.
Yes.
I maybe just want to clarify maybe Brother Fong's question on the sort of the source.
Sadhu.
Nibbana, the source.
Yes, yes.
Maybe he or maybe confusion arise because if originally if the source is there, the Nibbana is realized, Then ignorance couldn't come in. Instead of should be wisdom that arises from the source or from Nibbana, not ignorance. Maybe
yeah,
he.
that is the line of questioning he had. Yeah, he used the knowledge, he used the thought. He thought Nibbana, that true mind, the source, is what he is. Then he thought he can fall back and return. That is where he go wrong. With that one, you cannot own it as it doesn't belong to you. That is the original nature. From there, all things arise. That's why he couldn't get that one understood.
Bartil say this sentence, from there, from the original source, all things arise.
Yes.
So to him, I just guess, if since it's a source, it's a Nibbana already, it's a perfect,
correct, correct.
Perfect
you are completely correct.
Can,
this is how he
how
think.
Can
we use the thought, understand? The logic, understand? Then
yeah,
he analyze through whatever knowledge he has. Well, he is limited by the field of thought that actually limits him in developing the understanding. But without the awareness, you cannot understand what that nature is. And like I say, I purposely use the word pure awareness nature. No, it's a nature. No, it's not a being. No, like I say, it cannot come out and live. Like it's not you. No, it doesn't belong to anybody. You know, even the source also is not exist somewhere. One, no, it is the unconditioned one. No, you cannot talk about you. No, but it will only manifest through the form and mind karmically conditioned out. And the first thing to come out is a pure awareness. So you need to silence the mundane mind to realize that, then locate the gateway to go in and develop the wisdom and cease. Means the mundane mind realizes itself through wisdom and cease. Then only the pure awareness also cease and return to that thing. So this process, if you don't go through, you will be having that so-called doubt. That's why I say I don't blame Brother Fong for thinking along that line, which you pointed out correctly, Envy Sadhu. Very good.
That's how I was confused also last time, remember? But
in the early days, I remember,
The Paticca Samuppada.
Samuppada, yes.
The 12 links,
the
first thing that come out is the pure awareness.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
I was asking how come it's not the...
I remember at the retreat, you were asking the same question.
Yes, it's not the avijja come out, but it's the pure
awareness. Yeah, it's not the avijja, because the form and mind connected, you remember? Then that spacious awareness, when it appear, you... Living being who don't do this awareness based on cannot see that true mind, that awareness nature, they cannot see the creation process, how it shrink into a from a spacious awareness into a small area where the content is input and trigger of the thought. So that thought, that mundane mind with the avijja from the karmic of that form and mind, is the karmic process that trigger off the thought. And that one is not from the true mind, understand? Now you see it.
The
true mind is spacious awareness. It's just a nature. It cannot become something else. But through that, you can create consciousness, understand? From there, consciousness can come to be. Then with the content, it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is how the creative process arises. The first circle to the second circle is actually a natural process that comes through the karmic nature. Then you can only locate this when you use the form and mind, the what they call third circle, to meditate, to silence your thought process, to realize the true mind. Then you can move back to the second circle. And the second circle, that one is the unconditioned actually. It's not you. It's just that awareness nature. That's why no thought, no concept, nothing. Nothing inside that. That's why without thought, I ask, who are you? You are nothing. Nobody. He know you, he know me. It's just that nature. So that nature, that word nature is very important. Pure awareness nature. That one is not a being, not you. It cannot come out and live life. You cannot hold on to it as an entity. But from there, it is capable of direct seeing, awakening. It can also manifest thought process, everything. That's the difficult part. Without the pure awareness stabilized, you cannot see all this movement. Then without going through the cessation and come out, you also cannot see all these things. That's why I say, if he don't develop the stability or awareness and meditate, he cannot understand all. The doubt will continue to linger and this question will continue to exist. But for your case, Amy, I think at that time you're lucky we are at the retreat there, the nature and the condition there were better. Then when I explained to you on the Paticca Samuppada, you developed the understanding. But today one will make it clearer for you. Understand, huh, Amy?
Yes, it's clearer, very much clearer.
Well, I link it to the spacious awareness and the shrinking of that spacious awareness into a small area where the thought is being created. Then you can see clearly, you know, this thought, which is the five degree of form and mind, the second aspect, is not that pure awareness, understand? Nothing to do with that. Because of the karmic of this form and mind, carry. Then it trigger, understand? But once this form and mind develop the wisdom, then this become a pure thought, understand? Right thought. It depends on the user, understand? That's why the wisdom must be connected. And the wisdom is not automatically there or no. The wisdom must be developed and evolved every segmented life when the form and mind come on, you understand? Of course, you can inherit from your spiritual nature after you detect the two mind and the gateway. But before that, all coming on it. So all this is not easy to understand. In fact, earlier on, I share all this with you already. But with this question from Brother Fong, it will extend your understanding because a lot of you all actually has this question like what you mentioned, Amy, at that time. So these are the questions that will arise if you are not with me, understand not? Because without the faith and the understanding, all this doubt will surface on. Well, it's so completely like out of the normal, you know, this teaching. Not the one that you all used to hear from, you know, or learn from. You know. And all these are very new because hardly anybody, like I said, can reach this point of understanding in their cultivation. So how you expect people to understand? So that's why even many of the new Kayamita and people, even like Jayanta, they were shocked when they come to my class. They say, well, what you teach is like opposite of what they learn. They have been taught. Even Song also told me last night, completely different from what he learned. And not only these two, many other people tell me they haven't heard of this sharing and teaching before. But surprisingly, recently, like I learned from Jin Hao, I saw the number of subscribers to our YouTube has increased very fast. Now it's 600 over already. Our community is less than 150, I think, or about 100 or so only. And now it's 6 over time, oh, 4 over time, sorry, 4 or 5 times. Means a lot are non-Kayamita, but they keep on listening. Means people can understand. There are cultivators out there who can understand and they are interested. That's why they click on the bell, they click on the subscription, then they listen. So my nature has a lot of joy. Well, these are the things that can help people transform. That's why this Brother Fong is one of them. Earlier on, of course, we had the Penang Kua, and there are others. But the real serious one, I think, not long, they will appear already. They will start to come into contact with us already. Yeah. So don't worry, just let things be. Yeah. Things is just the way it is. If it's meant to be, it will unfold, it will become what it is. Yeah. So just develop the understanding and rejoice. Then cultivate yourself. When you cultivate yourself, the understanding make you different. No need to be right and wrong. No need to argue with people. Always remember, no right, no wrong. Thing is just the way it is. But so far, it's still very good because this Brother Fong has been very nice in his approach, and he is very sincere in wanting to understand and learn. That's why I reply him in the manner which my nature believe can benefit him and help him. So it depends on how he develop it further based on his karmic past. So if he needs to go through the karmic stages, he has to go through. Then, but from the look of it, like I say, he should be okay. Not too bad. Okay, Amy, anything else?
For the time being, it's just here first, Lord. We wait for another session. Let Brother Teo guide us in further details.
I think the next session, I think we will go into this again, so that we can discuss this topic in a more clearer manner, so that it can benefit more Kayamita. Yeah. Once you understand all this, your understanding become very different. No? Then when you go in and meditate, the awareness base, you become very confident. No? And you can just stay inside that nature and silence everything to understand the whole movement. No? That's why I say that nature is very powerful. Yeah. It's not to say that it can do a lot of funny things. No? No. Very powerful in the sense that it has a lot of wisdom energy. No? It can see things as it, it can make you understand, and it can connect you to all the teaching on, and link up the whole thing on. That's why the new book that is coming, I almost finished the editing already. I think by end of this week, I should be able to send out to Chui and the committee that helped me first do the thing on, so that you all can help me to play your part. Whatever role you are, you help me to clean it up. Then the rest, just check the proofreading. Chui has a lot of work. I think he's the main editor. So she will do the editing. But I have cleaned it up quite well. It's now in a book form already. Except I'm going through it one more round to actually clean up whatever that has not been cleaned up. But it is still quite colloquial. I think I need Chui to actually help me improve on the readability of that book. Yeah. Then maybe Jin Hao can send it into ChatGPT to give me a format of what he has. Maybe don't put in the whole book first though. Otherwise, part by part, paragraph by paragraph. Then you send it to me if the improvement is good. I may adopt some, but we let Chui go through first. So I like the phrasing of the ChatGPT. They make it very very nice in their approach. It's not like mine, very crude. I always use the few words, therefore, since, that one, or not the modern way of a nice approach of presentation of speech. I think this will help in the readability, and more people, like Chui say, will have access to this type of very unique sharing, which the world actually needs. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you, Envy, for the question and all the thing, and the sharing. And also to all Kanemitas for creating the condition, especially Brother Pong, for presenting that question that helped us to have the causes and conditions to share all this. Okay, let us share merits, starting with the Devas. Akasata Cirebumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Sidiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Devo Asatu Kalena Sasa Sampati Hetu Cha Vito Bhavatu Loko Cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko Imina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadu Sadu Sadu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu.